Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Jesus said in verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. I want to share some thoughts that God's placed upon my heart this week in regards to our nation, in regards to what I'm seeing in the world. We are living in a time period where we know the coming of the Lord is soon. They've been saying it for years, but I can tell you we're much closer than they said it before. One day closer. But I know that according to the Bible and all the prophetic scriptures, Matthew 24 and the book of Luke and throughout the prophetic chapters where Jesus describes what we would see in the signs of the times before his coming, that all of these things are lining up, earthquakes in diverse places. Many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. There'll be famines, pestilences, and we could go on and on. The Bible describes to us that we are living in the last days in perilous times, dangerous times. Not only are we dealing with the threat of radical Islamic terrorism, I know that's not politically correct. That's something that we've got to realize is we've just got to call things like they are. But see, we live in a generation that cannot handle the truth. They don't want to deal with reality. They do not want to face the facts. We live in a generation that is in a denial. Nowadays, they're teaching our children in school that, remember when you used to have activities and somebody got a blue ribbon for first place and second place? Nowadays, they're teaching there's no losers. We're all the same. We're all even. And we don't want to offend the second place, the third. So we all get on this even playing field. Listen, brothers and sisters, there is a way that seems right to man. But Jesus said, I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. What a statement from the Prince of Peace. What a statement. This is red letter. This is Jesus speaking. I haven't come to bring peace and do things the way you think. See, the Jews thought that the Lord would send a Messiah and he's going to bring peace. He's going to finally overcome the Roman army and set up the Israeli people's government and they were going to have peace. And he was going to rule. And that's what they were looking for. He says, for I am not come to what? Send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set what? A man at variance, almost literally against one another? Within their homes? Daughter against daughter? And with all the talk, I wish we could see unity in this nation, but our nation is divided. And much of the church is divided. And what I'm starting to see, brothers and sisters, and what I wanted to exhort and warn you of, is that there is a separation that has been taking place for some time. But it is being more evident and brought to the light and to the surface now. See, when the Bible says when evil men are in a position of leadership and rule, the people mourn. But when God places righteous men or kings in positions of authority, the people rejoice. What we're living in is a generation that does not love God. We are the minority in the world. We are the people of God, and Jesus said, don't think it's strange that if they hate you, because they first hated me. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. And I want to give you some thoughts this morning to encourage you as you look at the landscape and the condition of our nation and the church, and even in your personal lives, that this is a time of separation that God has divinely ordained. Amen. He's bringing a sword of separation. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is only one name given among men whereby we must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus. And one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So what I want to bring to the forefront, and that is that there is a separation taking place. What is Jesus talking about here? He said, a man's foes shall be they of his own household. In Ephesians 6 and 17, he talks about putting on the whole armor of God. And I want to go down and focus on verse 17 out of Ephesians chapter 6 and 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Can I tell you, when God's word goes forth, it brings a separation. Either you believe it or you deny it. Either you believe it and receive it and accept it, or you reject it. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand we're living in a generation and in a society that hates the truth. They don't want to deal with the reality of who they really are. If you tell them or preach to them about their sin, you are a hater. And the truth is offensive. Jesus didn't come to make folks feel good. He told them about their sin. When they were hypocrites, he told them they were hypocrites. Isn't it amazing that today we've got this liberal agenda that they can label us, but we can't label them? If you tell them you're a homosexual, you're a lesbian, and all those that live that type of lifestyle are not going to enter into the kingdom of God, they can't deal with that type of truth, because truth is like a sword. It brings a division. It brings the reality and opens up the heart and mental mind of a man or a woman and tells them that you now have heard truth and you've got to make a decision of whether to believe it and accept it or reject it and shun it. And soon as you label them with something like that, they call you a homophobe, Islamophobia. If you don't like homosexuals, not necessarily the person, but the sin, if you hate their sin, oh, you're a homophobe. See, they'll label us, but soon as you label them and tell them, oh, the real true spirits start to manifest. So what we have here is people that can't accept truth. Once you've heard the truth, now you're accountable to obey. See, you can't just hear truth and not be the same. The truth is going to do something to you. It's going to reveal some things about you. It's going to bring a separation and reveal that which is of the flesh is the flesh, and that which is of the spirit is of the spirit. You know what truth does? It brings people to make a decision. Pilate looked at truth right in the eyes when he had the decision and the authority to say, I'm either going to crucify him or I'm going to crucify this Barabbas. And they chose, we know the story, Barabbas. But kill that Jesus. They rejected truth. He came to his own people. Think it not strange when you come to your family and they don't want to hear you. Who do you think you are? You holier than thou. You think you're all righteous and you've got all that. Listen. Most of the time, you'll always be rejected by those that you love the most. But we've got to continue to preach the truth in love. There's a separation taking place right now. People are going to have to receive the truth or reject it. That's why you're seeing the uprising and the hatred and the anger and the demons from hell being churned up in the hearts of men and women across this nation. That's why they're going out into the streets and they're promoting all of their lifestyles and Planned Parenthood and killing babies. And brothers and sisters, why is this uprising taking place? Because see, truth is marching on. Hallelujah. Amen. Truth goes through every generation and it begins to bring a separation of that which is of God and that which is not of God. And Jesus and the disciples went about preaching truth. The majority rejected the gospel message. But the Lord Jesus Christ said that they that are of the truth, they will hear my voice and they will know my voice. They will receive that truth and they will all obey that truth. And brothers and sisters, so what we're seeing is the Spirit of God is giving America some mercy and He's extending to us grace, and truth is marching through 2017 and it's bringing a separation of those that are on the Lord's side and those that are not on God's side. How many want to be on the Lord's side? Can you say amen? If my people, I said it starts in the house of God. That's where judgment starts. We need to judge ourselves that we don't have to be judged by the Lord. We need to be able to receive one another's reproofs, rebukes, exhortations. The Bible tells us to do that. If we're offended, if we have a problem with a brother or sister, we go to them and we make it right that God, He said, don't go to the altar and pray. You go get it right with your brother or sister first. We live in a generation that is offended so easily. They got thin skin. We need to toughen up a little bit. You can't hardly tell folks stuff without them getting mad and angry and wanting to leave the church and getting all upset. You know why people cannot receive truth? It reveals who we really are. Where the Spirit of truth is, there is the Word of God. Listen to me. The Holy Ghost bears witness to the truth. Amen? And when the Word is being pronounced or spoken or preached or teached in this nation or anywhere in this world, the Holy Ghost comes and anoints that Word. That Word goes forth like a what? A two-edged sword. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces of the dividing of asunder of that which is of the soul and the spirit. So what we see is as we preach the Word of God to a generation that does not want God, they have rejected God, they have rejected truth, what begins to happen is the Word begins to open up that man or woman to a realm of making a decision of whether to receive the truth or not. And that's what we're seeing, is what is on the inside of people spiritually starting to manifest because of the truth of God's Word. The truth will manifest who you are. It reveals the hidden things. It reveals the true reality of who a man or a woman really is. Truth is absolute. Can you say amen? It is verified. It is undisputable. It is a fact. Truth is the reality of the matter. Those chairs are red. They're not yellow. They're red. That carpet is gray. This ceiling is white. I mean, we can differ a little bit on shades, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm wearing a black jacket. I can't sit there and fuss and fight with you and say, no, it's white. Isn't it amazing where folks fuss and fight over stuff? Why can't folks just handle the truth? The Word of God is the absolute truth. It cannot be changed. It cannot be altered. Though men have done it, truth never changes. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. In truth, he said what? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. It goes through every generation. This sword is going forth. It brings a division. Jesus said, I haven't came to bring peace on the earth, but a sword. I have come to bring a separation between the what? The sheep and the goat. I've come to separate light and darkness. I've come to separate the wheat from the chaff. That which is in the darkness will be brought into the light. He begins to bring this description all through the Word of God. It's not no gray area. There's not no purgatory. There's not no, well, I'm halfway in and halfway out. He said that you'll either be hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, there's no middle area. I will spew you out of my mouth. So what truth does is it brings us into a confrontation with the Spirit of truth, and we must make a decision. Am I going to obey the truth, or am I going to reject it and suffer the consequences of not obeying the truth of God's word? We are living in the last days, and not everybody that says they're a preacher are preachers. Matter of fact, Jesus said, many shall come in my name and deceive many. And many of them that are preaching, the Lord said they will not be preaching the truth. Matter of fact, they will turn the truth into a lie. They wrest the scripture. The Bible speaks of wresting as being twisting it to their own destruction. But truth is marching on. Truth, I told you earlier, is absolute. Do we agree? It's undisputable. Truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is truth. Thy word is truth. John 17 and 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. See the separation of God's word? He says, you cannot fellowship with darkness. How can light fellowship with darkness? We are children of light. Can you say amen? And can I tell you, when you walk into an environment or a church that has been walking in darkness for a while, and you bring forth the light of God's word and the anointing of the Holy Ghost begins to shine, you're going to begin to manifest things that have been hidden in the darkness. And brothers and sisters, I want to be on the side of the Lord and do that which is right in the eyes of God. Can you say amen? I don't want to reject truth. He said, you reject him, he's going to reject you. You can't confess me before man, I won't confess you before my Father. John 1 and 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Truth dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. We're saved by grace. Amen. We're saved by grace through faith, and it's not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. But grace and truth are brothers. They go together. Are you listening? You can't preach truth, doctrinal, biblical truth, without grace. And you can't preach grace without truth. If you're going to preach Jesus, you've got to preach truth. And the truth is going to offend. The truth is going to make people angry. I'm talking about truth is marching on. I'm talking about the Spirit of truth will bring deliverance to the captives. Oh, let me tell you, I've read many stories. Amen. There was a major fire many years ago, I think in the 60s, in an insane asylum, I believe in one of our big cities in the United States. It was an insane asylum. And they had, and you know, most of those people are locked up full of demons, and they're angry, they're mad. Many of them live in darkness and in padded rooms. Well, there was a big fire that broke out in this insane asylum hospital, and the paramedics and the firefighters had to do all they could to try to rescue these people and get them out of their rooms and out of this building before they would perish in the flames. And the firefighters were running from room to room to room. There was not much light. It was full of smoke and there was fire. They could not breathe hardly. And there was men and women that were holding on to their beds, not wanting to be free from the impending doom and death that was soon coming from the flames and the smoke. And they were fighting the firefighters, literally fighting them, not understanding what they were getting ready to face, a most certain death. And can I tell you, brothers and sisters, amen, that's the way many people in this generation are. They don't want to let go of their old nature. They don't want to let go of their sin. They don't want to let go of their evil. But can I tell you, we must, brothers and sisters, win the lost at any cost. Amen. We're going to have to preach to them the truth. Jude said, some save. Oh, by fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments that are spotted by the flesh. Brothers and sisters, we've got to run into the houses that are on fire of people that we know and rescue the lost at any cost and do all that we can to rip them out of their sin. That's what biblical pulpit preaching is. When a man gets behind the pulpit and preaches the truth of God's word, he is pulling men from the pit. He's pulling them up out of their sin and their iniquity. And that's why Jesus Christ came, to save sinners. Can you say amen? He said, I have come, oh, to set the captives free, to open up the prison doors. I've come to bring liberty to the captives and open up the blinded eyes that they can see. I feel the Holy Ghost as I'm getting ready to close to let you know that, amen, when the Spirit of truth comes nigh your way, if you embrace that truth can heal you. It can deliver you. It can set you free. Jesus said, hallelujah, you shall know the truth, and it is the truth that will make you free. There comes a time where you've got to tell people just like it is, that, amen, you're either going to live right, you're going to either receive the truth or you're going to reject it. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. You can't be lukewarm. If you're lukewarm, you're going to get spewed out of his mouth. He will reject you, saith the Lord. We live in a world that cannot receive truth or handle the truth. Even the Spirit of truth, John 14 and 17, whom the world cannot receive. John 14 and verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. How many love the truth this morning? How many love the Word of God? How many know that it was the truth that set me free? It was the truth that made me open up my eyes to come out of darkness and into the marvelous light. I love the truth. It might be painful when I'm under the conviction of it. It might bring a little conviction when I'm living a hypocritical life and not living what I know I should be. But preach it to me right, preacher. Preach me the truth. Preach me righteousness. Preach me holiness. For without holiness, we are not going to see God. Glory be to God. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Spirit of truth. So as we bring forth this truth into this lost and dying world, a large majority of them are going to reject you. Don't get discouraged. When they reject you and say, I don't want that thing, they're not ready. But just plant the seeds of truth. One man plants, another man waters. God will give the increase. Some of us didn't receive truth when we first heard it. It took a little while for us to come under the power of conviction. God's conviction is the mercy of God. God's conviction is His mercy, saying, come unto me, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. There is hope today to understand. Oh, there's only one thing that can be preached to this sinful generation. There's only one remedy. There's only one thing that has been provided for sin to be forgiven, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed upon the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago.
go. He shed His blood and He said, it is finished. He destroyed the powers of sin. He destroyed every curse. He destroyed the powers of iniquity. And let me tell you, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Preach me the blood, preacher. Preach me the truth, preacher. I need the blood to wash me, to cleanse me. And the good news is today, He said, if you will confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. I said, that's good news.